I have always wished that my Spanish was better. Living in Southern California and going to Mexico a lot for surfing, weekend trips, stuff like that, it's just very handy. I took 3 years of it in high school, but I really didn't learn that much from the books. I basically only got really good at asking various types of people where the library is located, which turns out to be not a phrase you use that often when you're on vacation. Rosetta Stone is a much more organic and easy way to learn a new language because it really immerses you in that language. It's the most trusted language learning program available on desktop, and also it has an app. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, and Polish. Like I said, it's fast language acquisition because it really immerses you in the language. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. They also have speech recognition features like True Accent, which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's also an amazing value. They offer a lifetime membership, which includes all 25 languages, which is perfect for any and all trips you might have in your future with various languages you might want to learn. Don't put off learning that new language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Otherworld listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/otherworld today.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Welcome to Otherworld. I'm your host, Jack Wagner. This is part two of The Situation. If you haven't heard the first, you should go back and start with that. In the last episode, we met Maeve, who explained that she grew up with a doll collection. And there was one doll in particular that always scared her, which is not super uncommon. Dolls are kind of creepy. But that fear became more real as she got older and things started to escalate. It eventually was the only doll she kept in her room at all because she genuinely feared deep down that something bad would happen if she got rid of it. Then it became very real when some of that weirdness started to be witnessed by some of her friends, who she was originally too embarrassed to talk to about all of this. Particularly, things took a turn when her friend jokingly slapped the doll and sort of challenged it. So she decided to try to cleanse and get rid of this doll by performing a sort of ritual that she basically made up based on stuff she saw on the internet, and it went badly. She ended up actually crashing her car after hearing some very, very strange noises right behind her head. The entire thing was really weird, and there were even some things that Maeve told me that didn't make it in the episode, but things that I still find myself thinking about right now as I'm recording this voiceover. For instance, at one point, when she was doing research about how to get rid of this doll, she was on her iPad, and she went to the bathroom and came back to find that her iPad had downloaded a strange GIF on its own, saved it to the photos, and it was playing on full screen. And this GIF was an animated image featuring a scene from the movie Dune, a scene where hundreds of people were being hung upside down and sacrificed. She had not seen the movie Dune. She had never seen this image before. The movie Dune had not even come out yet. She eventually learned that's what it was from, but it really freaked her out, and it freaked me out as well. It's just a very startling image. It's probably one of the most startling images in that entire movie. I didn't end up including it in that episode, because there certainly could be explanations for it. And to be honest, I know that's how Maeve felt through a lot of this entire thing. Maybe there's an explanation for it. She said that to herself with a lot of this stuff until suddenly things start to happen that aren't so easy to explain away. For instance, when something kicks Maeve to the ground on the day of the ritual. So, we're going to pick up right where we left off, but first we're going to hear a little bit from Maeve's friends, Katie and Genevieve. This is episode 75. The title is The Situation, Part 2, and you're listening to Otherworld.
Hello?
Is this Bobby?
Yes, it is.
At its core, the science you can't argue with.
A story about
all of a sudden
up in the sky.
It's almost frustrating that it's happening.
I'm literally, I'm gonna die. I've got like,
its
looking. Limbs were just like wrong.
It's just there.
Everybody moves back into the light, even if it takes them a minute.
So I'm Genevieve. I'm 23 from Alberta. I met Maeve in our first year of university, and we were in a biology class together. I'm an environmental scientist and she's an ecologist. Our other best friend, Katie, was also in that class. So we just kind of met by chance and started studying together. As we like kind of went through university, the three of us became really, really close. Yeah, I found out about the doll when it was in 2020, like during COVID. So we would go on hikes, and there was this one hike we went on. She mentioned this doll that she had, and it was this like porcelain doll. I also need to say I never actually saw it, but I purposefully refused to see it. Yeah, so she told me she had this porcelain doll that she's telling me about it and how she kind of just felt weird about it. And even as a kid, she would instinctually like turn the doll around like when she was sleeping so that the doll like couldn't watch her. Like it was like an instinctual thing that she felt. I thought that was really interesting. And then she was telling me that, yeah, she was feeling really weird around it and it made her feel uncomfortable. Anywho, like I ended up telling her, like, I think you should get rid of that doll. Like, I think you should cleanse it and cleanse your room, cleanse your house and remove it. Cause like you feel like there's something bad and like you should listen to that feeling. Like you're probably right. You need to get rid of that doll. Like there's something weird going on here. After everything with the doll kind of started happening, I definitely noticed like Maeve got really scared. She felt like she was being watched and she acted like she felt like she was being watched. And it was scary. It was definitely scary. Like, it was kind of tough because I, as her friend, wanted to help her as much as I could to help her through it. But I also, believing in spirits and stuff and knowing I was in a very vulnerable place just in my life, I was really scared to open myself up to whatever it was, especially seeing how anxious and scared and worried Maeve was, like, on a regular basis during this time. Yeah. There was one night that I had Maeve and my boyfriend at the time. We were just hanging out at my house. And I thought, like, maybe Maeve needs, like, a little break. Like, she's sleeping in this room where this, like, creepy stalker doll was. And she feels unsafe. And I was like, well, maybe, like, Maeve, you can just stay over. Like, everyone else left after we like hung out. And then I was like, well, Maeve, how about you just like sleep over and let's like watch a movie and like maybe you can feel a little bit of comfort like being somewhere different. And so she stayed over. It was kind of like a weird night. Like nothing really happened, but she was very anxious and like very scared and on edge. Like we were watching a movie and she'd keep like thinking she saw something like out the window or out the glass door, like a reflection of something. And like, I was like, maybe, I don't know, let's just watch this movie. And so ended up going to sleep and it wasn't a good sleep. I don't remember having any like nightmares or anything like that, but it was like a, it wasn't like a fun sleepover. It was like a little bit stressful. And then she left the next day. Everything was like fine. But then I started feeling like just this energy behind me. Like, I feel like everyone can relate to that feeling of like, if you know someone's looking at you, like that's what it felt like. Like I was like, there's someone standing behind me. I turn around and there wouldn't be anything there, but it felt like I was looking right at someone. Like it just felt like that. And yeah, the most distinct areas I would feel it would be, yeah, sitting at my desk doing homework. And I'd be so cold. Like I was so cold whenever I was sitting. I would be like bundled up, like 3 blankets, like socks. Like I was so cold. And I kind of just didn't think anything of it because I was in like hyper school student mode. But like it felt like a man. Like it really just felt like a man. Like even in my head, I can almost like see the shape of who, of what it was. But like I can't totally say if that was it or not. But yeah, it's like I can see this like man who's like a shadow figure with like short hair and like a long sleeve shirt and pants. Like that's just what I, for some reason, that's like what I see. Every time I went up the stairs, like I felt like a little kid, like, you know, little kids like running up the basement stairs, like because you feel like something's chasing behind you. Like it felt like that. Like I was like, there's something there, but it would feel like once I got to the top of the stairs and I'd turn around because it felt like something was behind me, it felt like he was just standing at the bottom of the stairs, just like looking at me. It was so weird. And then I would feel it like in my room. It felt like he was like standing at the edge of my bed looking at me. Like there were even a couple times with my partner at the time that I would say like, hey, actually, I don't feel comfortable like having sex right now because like it feels like someone's watching us. Like that there's something in my home, like there's something in my room right now watching us like kiss. And like my partner at the time, like he didn't believe in that sort of stuff, so he always thought I was kind of like crazy and whatever. But I was like, no, like there is somebody looking at us. Like, and I yeah, it's just like it was such an icky feeling. And it all happened like right after Maeve had come over and stayed that one night. And so I don't blame Maeve at all. And she, I know she's like feels guilty about it almost. And like, it's not her fault whatsoever, but like she definitely brought something into my home. And like, now that I've had time to reflect, it's just interesting because I had this gut feeling that I should not be in contact with the doll. Like I just had this feeling like something's going to latch on to me. And it's funny because like something did. I didn't know what to do. And I was like still very new to spirituality and like anything involving otherworldly things. I think I probably told her and Katie like together, like I was like, there's something in my house. I need help. And it definitely freaked Maeve out. I think it kind of reminded all of us a little bit of like, okay, we're all tied together. Like this is Maeve's doll, but like we're all in this story for some reason and it feels purposeful.
Hey, so after what happened with the car, I had just like thrown the doll in like a bag and then into a box and under my desk, and I just didn't want to touch it. I didn't want to go near it. I didn't want to be in my room. I was just so freaked out and so over the whole situation. And I texted Genevieve and Katie telling them about the situation and just telling them how scared I was. And they immediately took it like very seriously. They were very scared for me. And yeah, I was very much in a state of so much fear in my home, and like I wasn't able to sleep. Like during the day I was just like panicked. I didn't want to be in the house by myself. I definitely did not want to go down into my room. I was sleeping upstairs in like the guest bedroom, or I was trying to like force my sister to let me sleep in her room with her. And Genevieve took pity on me, and she was like, okay, like I'm gonna help you. We're gonna go to like all the metaphysical shops in Calgary, and we're going to try to find someone to figure out, like, what to do, because obviously we are not powerful enough to deal with this. We do not know enough to deal with this. We need a professional's help. My car was broken, so we took the bus around Calgary one day to all these little metaphysical stores. None of them were responding well. Like, I think we went to, like, 3 or 4, and most of them I was either getting just, like, weird looks or, like, laughed at. Like, no one was really taking me seriously, which was a little insulting because I was like, isn't this what you guys... Are you guys supposed to believe in this stuff? But whatever. They either just didn't want anything to do with it or they were like, good luck. Like, I don't know what's happening here. But yeah, I guess the last shop we went to, we like walked in and I gave like a super brief like description to the girl that was working there. I was just like, hey, I have this doll. I think it's haunted. Do you have any resources, like any books or anyone that you know that can help get like the spirit out? Because at this time I really thought there was like a ghost in the doll. And the girl was like, oh yeah, that's crazy. Like, we don't really have any resources for that. And I don't know how to deal with that sort of situation. But like coincidentally, there's a woman who does Reiki who comes in once a month to our shop, and she is from a place, a village in Africa, where she had learned a lot about black magic growing up. And she doesn't practice black magic. She doesn't really, that's not her service. She doesn't sell it or advertise it, but maybe she'll have more information to help you guys. She might have a better understanding of what's happening. And coincidentally, she was coming in the very next day. So I was like, oh my gosh, thank goodness. How do I book an appointment with her? So we went home from there, and then Genevieve was dealing with a lot of other paranormal stuff and also a lot in her life. And I think the doll was just like, she didn't want to come back and deal with the Reiki practitioner or exorcism. She didn't want to really be around the doll, which is totally fair. So I think she messaged Katie and told Katie, like, can you go with Maeve? Because I really think she needs, like, support the next day dealing with getting rid of this doll.
Yeah, so that day I showed up at Maeve's house really early in the morning because we weren't sure, like, when the appointment was going to be. It was kind of like we called when the store opened and then we would just go in whenever. And so, yeah, so I got to Maeve's house, and at this point I think me and Maeve were friends for almost 2 or 3 years. I was like, I don't think I've actually ever seen this doll before. Like, she never pointed it out to me or anything. And I guess, like, I would have never really noticed it because the hat, like, Maeve always put the hat over the doll's face. So even if it was kind of creepy, I just never really noticed it before. And so she got a box from underneath of her desk. I guess that's where she put the doll in, that box, after the whole thing with Cynthia happened. And she opened up the box and pulled the doll out. And I'll literally never forget, like, the way that I felt when I saw this doll for the first time. Like, I just immediately got chills all over my body, and I literally felt like I was gonna cry. In that moment, I thought I was gonna burst into tears, which was really weird because I wasn't feeling like nervous before. And then all of a sudden it just like, just hit me like a ton of bricks. And it also, like, that since that was the first time I saw the doll, it was also so jarring to me how, like, kind of beautiful this doll was. And I was like, this is not what I was expecting this doll to look like. That totally changed the whole thing for me. I was like, oh, I'm 100%, like, maybe if there was any doubts I had before this, I 100% believe you. This doll is, there's something weird about it. The fact that, like, I almost burst into tears so quickly, I think is just crazy. I didn't know what to really think of it. And then shortly after then, Maeve called the store and spoke to the lady on the phone. And I remember her being like very concerned about the whole thing, and told us to bring in the doll and told us to tell the doll that we were taking it out of its space.
Katie came over, and I remember she came over to my house, and I was like, okay, like, let's go see the doll. And it was the first time she'd ever seen the doll. So I took her downstairs. I took her out of the bag and showed her to Katie. And I remember Katie's face just like dropped, and she like kind of went white, and she was like, oh, like, okay. Like, and she kind of understanding, I guess, what was happening, like the seriousness of the situation. Like, she looked really freaked out. Yeah, and that day I just, like, felt so sick. I felt, like, so scared. We just, like, we barely talked the entire day, which is not common for us. We're, like, super chatty people, but we kind of just, like, sat in, like, cold silence for the day, like, waiting to go visit this woman. And when I had booked the appointment with the Reiki practitioner, she had recommended before we leave to, like, ask the doll for permission to take it. So me and Katie, like, asked the doll, like, hey, like, we're going to go take you somewhere, like, to get help. Like, it's going to be good for you. We're trying to stress to the doll that, like, this is a good thing. And we weren't trying to get rid of it, but we're just going to take it to someone that was going to help it. Half of it was like, this is really stupid. I am a grown-up talking to a doll right now, asking it for permission. Like, this is a very funny situation. And then the other half was like, oh, please let the doll be okay with this. I cannot get into another car crash. And just like general, I guess, fear and like a lot of respect for the doll. And really hoping that the doll, I guess, believed us that this was going to be positive for it and it wasn't going to try anything else.
By that point, I was definitely nervous, especially because since Maeve's car was totaled, I was driving. And also because I think Maeve was just, she was so stressed that I don't think driving would have been a good idea. But, and I remember I was like white knuckling to the store because I was like, oh my God, what if I get into a car accident? That would just not be good. I remember the whole day. It was like the weirdest day ever. We just didn't, we barely spoke all day. We just kind of like just went from kind of place to place and just kept doing things. And you could just tell like the whole day was like the energy was just so like raw and it was just so like weird.
We brought the doll in to the metaphysical store and we had booked, I guess, technically like a Reiki session since this practitioner didn't really offer any other services and we were just kind of like bringing this doll in under the guise of like a Reiki session to see if she had any advice. Just a very cute little like shop with just crystals and tarot cards and stuff. Nothing dark or occulty there. Yeah, it was kind of like a new age sort of spiritually place. We went in, like we talked to the receptionist, like we had said we booked a Reiki appointment. And we were, like, taken into, like, this back room. And there was a woman there. And she was very, I guess she sort of had a hippie aesthetic, if that makes sense. Like, she kind of had, like, long hair. She was, like, an older woman. And, like, the room smelled, like, incense. And it was sort of, like, a small room with, like, yellow lighting and, like, one small table in the room and then one small cabinet. But it was a very empty room. It was sort of just like an empty room and this woman. And I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know anything about Reiki. I had never met anyone who does Reiki. I didn't even really know. I still don't even really know what Reiki is. She seemed trustworthy, but both me and Katie were still like very skeptical about, I guess, anyone who claimed to be like psychic or do magic. I basically just told her, I have this doll. It is, I believe that it is haunted. It's really scaring me. Do you know how to get rid of a spirit from a doll? So she had us like sit down and kind of sit with her. She wanted to read our energy. I believe she like held our hands. She was telling me a lot, I guess, like of things about myself that, I don't know, they just like lined up a lot with like what people had sort of told me throughout my life, like observations that other people had made about me, which was interesting. She told me I have like an extremely strong intuition and stuff. And then she asked to see the doll. And I like took the doll out of her box and she was like looking at it and she was holding it and kind of putting her hands on it. And then she was immediately kind of like, I could see her like face drop and she like, her demeanor changed. Like she's had the demeanor of like now being worried, but she was still trying to be like, light and like put on a smile and pretend like everything was okay. But she was like, I don't have the materials with me right now to deal with what this is. I thought it was just going to be a spirit. And me and Katie didn't really know how to take that because we were like, isn't it a spirit? Like, what do you mean you don't have like the tools needed like right now? But she kind of had us like sit down in like sort of a hurry and she put the doll in the middle and She grabs like, oh, I don't even know what it, I really wish I remember what it was, but she was grabbing a bunch of objects that I had no like context for what they were. They were like roots and like different crystals and stuff. And she started burning a bunch of things and she was running around the room grabbing stuff like really frantically. I was like, oh boy. Hopefully this works. Like, she doesn't seem like super confident that she's going to be able to like fix it. But she's like taking it really seriously. Yeah, she was kind of just giving us like her basic rundown. Like, everything like seemed very like in her wheelhouse. Normal things that you would hear like a psychic saying. Very reassuring, very warm. But not saying anything out of the ordinary, not saying anything that was super, super real. Friendly woman's like kind of like reading your energy or whatever. And then I took out the doll and showed it to her and things became like very serious. Like, she changed her demeanor. It seemed like it was no longer just like a run-of-the-mill everyday situation for her. It seemed like this was like a shock to her and something that she was no longer like very confident about, which is not a feeling that I wanted to have because I was also scared in this moment. So I was like, oh no, please, like, you have to be sure that you can get rid of this because I don't know, like, I don't know who else we're going to turn to if you can't deal with it. Yeah, she seemed like someone who was pretending not to be nervous. Like, you could see her sort of become nervous and then you could see her like put on the smile of like, no, like the reassuring, like, no guys, it's gonna be okay. Like, we're probably gonna figure this out. But like, shifts from being very like, okay, yeah, we'll figure this out, like very reassuring to like, I hope we figure this out now. Like, now it seemed like we were all unsure about the situation. Before she did anything, she had us sit down and do a grounding exercise. She was, yeah, telling us like, this is gonna be like pretty intense. So like, we need to be like rooted into the earth. The Reiki practitioner, me and Katie sat in like the little small table around the doll with the doll in the middle with the doll's eyes closed, eyes covered by the hat, and we held hands and she also closed our eyes and she walked us through a grounding exercise. And it just felt like energy, like a warm sort of heat, like pulling up like from the feet up to like my head and then out the top of my head and then back down through my body and into the ground, which was really interesting. I'd never felt anything like that before. It was like quite an intense sensation. I could tell sort of exactly where the energy was like throughout my body, just being pulled, which was, yeah, a crazy feeling. Yeah, something I'd never experienced in any other context. And I think just throughout the entire time I was like, because I'd never tried something like this before, I was like, oh my gosh, I hope I'm doing this right. Like, I hope it's working. So we finished that, and then she started going around the room, trying to, like, grab objects, like, pulling them out of, like, the cupboard, like, searching for things. And I was worried because she said she didn't have everything that she would typically need to deal with this sort of situation. Yeah, she started burning these things like around the doll, like over top of the doll's head, saying these like incantations or spells, or I'm not really sure, very loudly, like very powerfully, like almost like yelling, I guess. As if you were yelling at something to get out of the doll was basically what was happening, but I didn't understand anything she was saying. It wasn't in a language that I knew. I'm not even sure, like, what. She didn't really explain what she was doing. It was all very rushed, and it was all seemed very urgent. So that happened, and while that was happening, the weirdest thing, I guess, was the ceiling started to shake. So there was, like, the ceiling was made out of, I guess, those tiles that you see in, like, office buildings, I guess. And they started to, like, vibrate really, really heavily. So they weren't moving at all throughout the entire time that we had been there. But, like, as soon as this ritual started picking up, like, as soon as, like, she started getting louder and, like, the energy, you could almost, like, feel it moving through the room just started getting, like, very overwhelming. Because there was only one, she was only one person and she was, like, the only one talking loudly. But it kind of, the room started feeling, like, more and more full and more, like, overwhelming. It felt like there was so much happening in the room. It was like being like, if you're in like a room where there's like a bunch of people and it's super loud and you're like feeling super overwhelmed. It was kind of that feeling, but there wasn't anything to contextualize it. It was just this ritual going on. And as it like ramped up, the ceiling started shaking. And that's, I think, when I was like, oh my God, something's happening.
We were all holding hands, I believe. And I could just feel like the energy, like just wafting through my whole body, going from like head to toe. And then I could also hear like we had our eyes closed and I could hear the tiles. I could hear it moving. And it was almost like in my mind, I kind of saw it as like, it's almost like the energy in the room was just so strong and passing so strong that it was like almost physically moving the tiles. It was like the first time I've ever like felt, yeah, like energy moving before. And it was just a really weird experience.
All right. We'll be right back after this quick break. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Do you ever feel like you just need to get something off your chest? Contrary to the belief of, I think, every single man in my family lineage, dating back to the hunter-gatherer period, bottling things up does not work. When you push those things down, it begins to build up and negatively affects you. And of course, the stuff you bottle up always finds a way to come out eventually, usually not in a very good way. Therapy is a place to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. There's a reason people say it's like a weight has been lifted off my shoulders afterwards. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you could switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/otherworld today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/otherworld.
Hey, Otherworld listeners. I'm excited to tell you about a show that I love and I think you're going to love as well. It's called Sophia with an F, starring Sophia Franklin. This show is about as different from Otherworld as a show could possibly be, which is why I think many people were very, very shocked when I got invited on as a guest around Halloween. It was really the crossover that nobody expected. I'll never forget the day my episode came out and every single one of my college-age cousins texted me all at the same time, very confused, but also very excited. It was nice to hear from all of them, though, and finally get some respect. I had a great time on the show. Sophia is really down to earth, which is why I think her interviews are so good. We talked about Otherworld, the paranormal, getting into this whole thing unexpectedly, as I did, and a lot of other stuff that I think normally does not get discussed on Sophia with an F. Normally in the show, Sophia Franklin goes deep on sex, life, mental health, relationships, and everything in between. You could get Sophia all to yourself every Monday for solo mini episodes and every Thursday with her ride or die best friends, experts, and some famous guests on a host of other topics, topics that are not safe for the dinner table, from foursomes and sugar daddies to wild sexcapades and tips for keeping things fresh in the bedroom. It's raw and laugh out loud funny, no borders and no filters. My personal favorite is the episode with Waka Flocka Flame, if you want somewhere to start. Listen to and follow Sophia with an F on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Springtime is here. I've recently had all of my windows open, letting in the breeze, the smell of fresh flowers blooming all over my neighborhood. This is what a house should smell like. It should not smell like your cat's litter box. Thankfully, Pretty Litter makes that very easy. Nothing beats Pretty Litter's ability to instantly trap odor. It's ultra absorbent, lightweight, low dust, and 1 6-pound bag works for up to a month. It also gives me peace of mind knowing Pretty Litter's crystals change color to indicate early signs of potential illness in my cat, like urinary tract infections, kidney issues, and more. This is especially useful now that my cat is hanging out constantly by our screen door, getting visitations from coyotes, raccoons, squirrels, other cats, who knows what else. So it's very helpful knowing that if he picks up anything weird from them, I'll notice right away in his litter. When I first got my cat Merlin, I tried using the cheap cat litter that comes in those huge, giant bags from the pet store. That stuff is awful. Some of it smells worse than the smells it's supposed to be covering up. It does not have to be like that. There's a better way to live. There's no reason for your house to smell like your cat's litter box. If your house smells like a cat's litter box, that's on you. That's not on your cat. Pretty Litter is amazing. You should give it a try. Go to prettylitter.com/otherworld to save 20% on your first order and get a free cat toy. That's prettylitter.com/otherworld to save 20% on your first order and get a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. Folks, springtime is here, and it might be time to clean out the closet and finally update your wardrobe. Quince has you covered with timeless pieces that never got a style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all the essentials for men and women, and everything is made from high-quality materials, which is very important to me. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes savings on to us. And like I mentioned, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. I recently went on a little shopping spree myself. I got a chore jacket, a Mongolian cashmere cardigan, and a quilted jacket. Basically stuff that I could just throw on top of the normal old t-shirts that I wear every day to make myself look a lot more presentable and fashionable when I need to. I also got some new sheets for our bed. They have so many to choose from. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/otherworld for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince, quince.com/otherworld to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/otherworld.
Like, I was getting, like, a little bit, I was scared because it was, like, a really intense situation, but I was also feeling a relief because I was like, oh my gosh, maybe something's actually happening. Like, maybe this is actually real. I don't remember if I had my eyes closed or I was just, like, looking down because it was just all, like, so overwhelming. Like, I wasn't looking directly at her. There was just something about it that it was, like, too much to, like, directly look at it or directly engage with it. Like, it seemed like something was happening between her and the doll. And I just kind of, like, stepped back and, like, looked down. And I think I had, like, my eyes closed. Because it just, like, felt like so much was happening in the room. I was getting so overwhelmed. It was just, like, a very intense experience. I just remember, like, her arm being over the doll and then, like, seeing something burning as my main memory of the situation. And then she finished and everything sort of settled down. The ceiling stopped shaking when the ritual was over. And the whole thing, I think, only lasted like 20 minutes, but it felt like it was going on for hours. She was like looking very exhausted. Like she looked very tired. She looked very drained and she looked like relieved, I guess. And a little bit like scared. Like the happy, I guess, sort of act was over, and it was then, like, very quiet, very serious. Like, everyone in the room was very tired, like, very exhausted. It felt like the air had been, like, kind of just sucked out of us. And she handed the doll back to me, and she was like, okay, it should be gone. There shouldn't be anything left. And I was like, oh, like, okay, like, you got rid of the ghost, like, it's gone. And she was like, it wasn't a ghost. And I didn't know what that meant. I guess I was like, what was happening? And she sat down. I remember her like sitting down across from me and she was like very serious. And she was like, what was in this object was a curse. It wasn't a spirit. And she started asking me like, where did you get this doll? And I was telling her like, I don't remember where I got the doll. Like, someone gave it to me when I was a kid, but I don't really remember. And she was like, that doesn't matter. Like, it was going to find its way to you either way. What was in the doll was a curse. She said it was very smart to have it, like, come in with its eyes covered. I didn't discuss with her why I had the eyes covered or anything, but she was like, it was very smart to cover the eyes, like, because the purpose of the curse, like, the reason this was given to you was to watch you. It has been following, like this curse has existed in your life and has followed you for multiple lifetimes. This is just another iteration. Like this is just how it's showing up in your life right now, is in the form of this doll. But this curse has been with you for a long time. Obviously, I was like, who put this curse on me? Like, what are you talking about? She was like, I don't know. I do not have the capacity to tell you that. Whoever put the curse on the doll, this is like far beyond like my abilities to, like, I guess, like get to the root of the problem. I can only deal with like the curse that exists in this doll. I can't deal with like the greater scope of the metaphysical issue that you're dealing with, because whoever the source of this curse is a lot more powerful than I am. And I was like, okay, but the doll is okay. She was like, yeah, there's not a curse, I guess, left in the doll. There might be some residual energy or something, but the curse is left it. And I was like, okay, thank you. Like, and then I was like, just, I guess, curious, because all of this didn't make sense to me. This wasn't like your usual ghost story. This isn't what you expect to hear. This is not, I guess, a narrative that I had ever heard before. It's not anything you would hear in, like, I guess, like a horror movie typically or anything. It's not your usual ghost story. So I was very confused. And I was asking her, like, why would anyone put a curse on me? Like, I am truly just like a random girl. Like, I don't have any power. I'm not someone who practices magic in any serious capacity. I'm not someone who's like of any, I guess, like metaphysical threat. And she said, like, her best explanation for it was, I must have at some point in a past life made a deal with someone. This curse, it was something that was being used to watch me throughout my lifetimes to ensure that I had followed through with my agreement, that I was holding up my end of a bargain. I was like, can you give me any more information? And she was like, no, like, anything else is like beyond my scope, but thank God you brought this into me. Like, I'm glad we could like end, I guess, this cycle for you. But she said, I would really recommend, I guess, trying to figure out what the source is, and more information about this, because she was like, I would be scared if it followed you, like that it will keep following you, that this isn't something it's not something that ends here with this doll. And like we walked out, and then, yeah, we had realized that only like 20 minutes had gone by, even though it felt like we'd been in there for like hours. I was first of all, like, knocked out, like exhausted, like felt like a like train had just hit me. Like, we were so tired. And me and Katie both, I think, kind of looked at each other in, I guess, sort of like shock, because we were like, I was like, did you feel like, I guess, like the energy being pulled? We were like, oh my God, the ceiling was moving. Oh my God, like the energy in the room was like so intense. Before we left, she was like, I'm really worried about you. I want to put a protection sigil on your back. And I was like, okay. She was like, do I have your permission to do that? And I was like, okay. And she basically put some sort of sigil, so like with her fingers. She didn't touch my back, but it was like hovering like on my back, and she put some sort of symbol, I guess. And it was weird because I could like feel, walking out of the room, I could like feel the exact, like, it felt like someone had like kind of carved lines into my back. Like, I could really feel like this like presence, like someone had stuck something onto my back, like carved something into my back, which was strange. And then she put one on Katie too, but she was like, I'm really worried about you in particular. So she put like, I think, a different one on Katie. And we walked out of there, and it was sort of a like, okay, like, I'm glad I could help you, but like, she's like, I don't really advertise that I know how to do this sort of thing. Like, this is not like my job. This is not what I do for work. So she was kind of like, don't advertise, I guess, that I do this sort of service. Because I think she was really just, she just wanted to sell Reiki, and she kind of only did this because she felt the situation like warranted it, because we seemed like, I think, really scared. And she felt the situation was really serious. And then she said, like, I think she said, like, can we exchange numbers in case, like, something else comes up? And I was like, okay, yeah. And we sort of walked out there, and, yeah, we sat in Katie's car, and we're going over what happened. And I had the doll, and I remember in Katie's car, I took the hat off the doll so you could see its eyes. And the freakiest thing to me was the eyes used to be like a dark hazel brown. And they were like really deep. And then I took off her hat and they were super foggy light. Like it looked like they were glazed over foggy light blue. Like it looks like. Like when people, like, it looked like she had lost her vision, I guess, almost. Like they were like glazed over, hazy, which was weird. I was rubbing her. I was like, is there just like smoke or like soot on her eyes? But it wasn't, I don't know. So that kind of gave me, I guess, more confidence that something was resolved with the doll, that it was fixed. And also the whole situation, it felt so violating, like the thought that someone or something had been watching me my entire life in my room felt so disgusting. It felt like, yeah, like you can imagine, like if something just like continuously watching you, like through every single aspect of your entire life growing up, this thing had always been in my room, and I was just so disgusted and, I don't know, violated by the whole situation. I don't really like to think about it or bring it back up or talk about it. And I guess the second aspect of why I don't like to talk about it is, I'm scared it's going to come back. I'm scared that it's going to somehow reignite, and I don't want that, I don't want anything to do with it again.
Before we left, she put like a protection on our backs. And I remember both me and Maeve kind of like mentioned for weeks afterwards that it still felt like it was there. I think it was like a sigil kind of thing. And then she also like cleansed us as well. And it kind of just felt like every once in a while I'd be just kind of going about my day. And then it just kind of felt like there was something on my back, and which was crazy. And I think Maeve said that it felt like hers was there for much longer. So yeah, then after that we left. And I remember we cleansed my car and cleansed her room. And I remember mentioning to Maeve, I was like, okay, well, you want to like get rid of Sally now? She was like, no, I don't want to get rid of her yet. And I was like, what do you mean you don't want to get rid of her yet? I'm like, you just went through this whole thing. You've been scared of this doll since you were like a kid, you know, like, why do you not want to get rid of it? She's like, well, she feels fine now. And I was like, okay, well, let me know when you want to get rid of it. And she's like, okay, yeah, we can do that. I always thought that was really strange. And in my mind, I kind of saw it. It was almost like the curse was still lingering a little bit on her. Like she still had this kind of weird thing, not wanting her to get rid of it. I don't think we ended up getting rid of it until like for quite a few months.
And yeah, I just like went home with the doll. Then Katie was like, okay, like let's get rid of the doll. Like we went through all of this like horribleness, like let's chuck it. Let's destroy it. How do you want to destroy it? And she said like, I like both Katie and Jen, like I guess for like the weeks after this were like so confused. Cause I truly do not remember like why this was the case. Cause in retrospect, I'm like, it makes sense, like, a logical Maeve brain would get rid of this doll. Like, it's time to get rid of the doll. So much as horribleness has happened. I wanted to get rid of it so badly. I don't want it in my life anymore. I don't want anything to do with it. But whenever, like, she'd bring up that we need to get rid of it, I refused to get rid of it. And I just went into, like, this, like, I guess, like, sort of, like, happy days about it. And I was like, oh, no, we'll just keep the doll. Like, oh, no, I'll just keep it, like, I'll just keep it. I'll just put it back in my room. Like, it's fine. I'll just put it back in my room. I'll just go put it back where it always has been. And I was refusing to get rid of it. And I have no idea why I was refusing to get rid of it. That makes no sense to me. I have no recollection of what my logic was behind that. That doll was not sentimental to me in any way. I have no, I didn't like the doll. I don't know who gave me the doll. Like, there was no reason for me to keep it.
Wait, let me get this straight. So this lady told you to get rid of it?
Yeah. Like, she said that it's not harmful anymore, but, like, she was like, it's not harmful anymore. Get rid of it.
And you kept it.
And I was like, for some, I do not know. I was, for some reason, I was in this
weird
state.
Do you even like dolls?
Not really. Like, I have dolls. Like, I.
Why do you have these dolls, Maeve?
Well, I had dolls when I was a kid. I was never scared. Like, I was never scared of dolls. So, like, when I was a kid, I had a bunch of dolls. But, like, I put them all in storage and stuff, except for this, like, one. But I don't know. There is no reason. I cannot. I have no idea. And one of the things that, like, still freaks me out so much is I'm like, why did I keep that doll afterwards? Because I know what was, like, forcing me to keep the doll before was fear. And I have no idea why I kept it afterwards. I was just, like, whenever anyone would bring it up, I would just go into, like, they said I would go into, like, this weird, like, state of just, like, happy-go-lucky, like, glazed over, like, yeah, like, no, like, it's, like, fine. I'm just going to keep it. Like, I'm just going to keep it. Yeah, so I was keeping this doll for God knows why, for a while. So I had it still next to my bed, but I wasn't scared of it anymore. I just, like, was like, okay, like, problem's fixed. Good. Moving on with my life. But I was still sleeping next to it every night. And I kept having, periodically, I was having, like, really, like, weird dreams about it. And the dreams were always the same theme. I'm not gone. And it was always either I would come down the stairs in my room and, like, the doll would, like, turn to me and be just, like, I would hear, like, a voice. It was, like, a disembodied voice in, like, in my head, in my dream. And it would just say, like, I'm still here. I'm never going away. Or I'm still here. It didn't work. And then I would wake up and it would sort of follow this pattern. I think I had, like, two or three dreams to that effect. But there was one where I woke up in my bed. I was in a dream. I woke up in my bed and I looked down and there was, like, footprints coming up to my bed and then, like, stopped. And then footprints walking away. And then just the voice, like, I am watching you. I am still here. They would freak me out, but then I would sort of forget about them. The following Halloween, it was, like, a full moon. And, like, the combination, I guess, of, like, Halloween and full moon is kind of seen as, like, there's a very thin veil. That night I had, Sunia was supposed to come over late that night. And I was waiting for her to come over. And for some reason, while I was waiting for her to come over, I had, like, drifted off to sleep by accident in my bed. I just had another dream about the doll, like, waking up and hearing just, like, again, like, the same, it was always the same voice. It was, like, this deep male disembodied voice in my head, just, like, booming, being like, I am still here. I am still watching. It did not work. And I woke up from that, and that, like, that was kind of the final one. It was the scariest one, and it was the final one where I was just like, I'm done. We're getting rid of this. What am I doing? Why do I still have it? Like, I snapped out of, like, why do I have it? We need to get rid of this. And I texted Katie and I was like, we're getting rid of this doll. Like, we're getting rid of this doll as soon as possible. And she came over and I think I was like, I need you here with me. And I was considering, like, making her drive over it with her car. But we didn't end up doing that plan. I think I, like, just drove away from my house, like a few blocks down, and, like, found a dumpster to, like, chuck it. And that was, then it was gone. And I didn't have any more dreams about it after that.
Where was the dumpster?
It was, like, in this weird strip mall, I guess, like, a few blocks from my house.
Was it a significant dumpster of any kind, or was it, like...
No, it was, like, outside of the subway. Like, it was, like, the randomest place.
Was it
place.
A subway?
It was, like, the subway dumpster, like, in the strip mall. Like, it was just, like, the closest, I think, public dumpster to my house, because I didn't want to throw it in my garbage.
All of this comes to an end at Subway?
Yeah. The strip mall, Subway, dumpster.
Was there bread in there?
I don't know. It was like a tiny hole. Like I was shoving it in. Like I definitely like was not supposed to be using that dumpster, but I was like forcing her into this dumpster just like angrily, like, I hate you. And we drove away. Yeah. Very weird. Very strange. But yeah, when I got back to my house after like the whole situation was over, I like walked into my room and it just felt like empty. Like it felt like a significant presence had been removed from my room. It felt like someone had like taken out the bed or something. It was just like, it felt like so much bigger, so much emptier, and like something had been taken out of it. I was no longer scared to be in my house, be in my room. Once I finally truly threw it away, then like the dream stopped and I felt just like it was truly gone. Like there was like nothing left watching me. I felt at peace. Still like, I guess like there's always like a nagging, I guess, fear in the back of my mind that, I guess like the greater source of this curse. And I've always sort of, been worried about like, is it going to pop up again? Is like something going to like arrive in my life again that's meant to watch me? Like, is another curse, going to materialize, I guess, since I didn't get rid of like the source, I didn't solve, I didn't figure out like why this was in my life, or like cut whatever ties I have to the thing or nebulous entity that gave it to me. But yeah, other than that, I've just really gone on living my life. Like it hasn't really cropped up again. It's something we definitely laugh about a lot, like because it's so ridiculous. It sounds like, it felt like we were, like, in a horror movie. Like, it felt like we were characters in, like, a horror movie or, like, Harry Potter or something. Like, we laugh about it a lot. It was really funny. We, like, referred to it as, like, the situation for, like, a long time. Oh, yeah, haha, like, the situation, like, as a way to sort of make light of it, but also not to acknowledge it all, not to bring that negative energy into whatever conversation we were having. I think it really brought us closer. And I think having us, like, all go through it, like, together made it, like, so much more real. It made me feel like I wasn't losing my mind. We all got matching tattoos after this. We came up with like this idea for like this matching tattoo, which is like the Three of Cups, which represents sort of like sisterhood. Almost sounds stupid, but it really felt like a karmic moment for us. Like it felt like we had all sort of been pulled from like our own lives, like together for this moment. I felt like they were like meant to be there for me in that moment. I was so like overwhelmingly grateful that I had them, because I think honestly like without them I just would have let this curse like go on forever. Yeah, in that moment like they were like these like super powerful women that were there for me, and I appreciate that so much. And I think because of the situation it was like trauma bonded us, and I can't imagine my life without them.
All right, thank you so much to Maeve, Sanaya, Katie, and Genevieve for speaking to us for these episodes. Folks, if any of you listening were throwing something away a few years ago at a Subway in the Calgary area, and you happened to find a cute little doll in the dumpster that you brought home, I strongly advise getting rid of it as soon as possible. All jokes aside, as far as what I think about this story, like, do I believe in haunted dolls? Do I actually think this was some kind of curse or pact from a past life following and watching Maeve? I don't know. But I do think sometimes there are things that we do not understand that end up manifesting in our lives in very, very strange ways. Dolls have been around since the Paleolithic era. They were invented before the wheel. So if you believe in the existence of any sort of ancient mysteries beyond our knowledge, I suppose it's not so ridiculous to think that they would utilize a doll. I mean, we think of children's dolls as something really modern, but statues and idols are actually ancient and were used in some of the earliest forms of religious magic and cultural ceremonies. This is one of the first things that mankind created. I think sometimes with the unknown, it's possible that people can be right about something, but for the wrong reasons. That's how I look at a lot of this stuff. Something was clearly going on, and you might ask several people about the same thing, and they will all have their own explanation. They might even call it different things, but that doesn't mean it's not the same thing. Either way, I'm very glad things seem to be better for Maeve, and that the situation seems to be over, at least for now. By the way, we're gonna be doing some Patreon episodes around this series. If you wanna hear some bonus stuff on this series, visit patreon.com/otherworld. This has been episode 75, The Situation Part 2, and you've been listening to Otherworld. Otherworld is executive produced and hosted by myself, Jack Wagner. Our theme song is by Cobra Man. The soundtrack of this episode is by Juice Jackal and North Americans. The song you're hearing right now is Young Adult Fiction by The Pains of Being Pure at Heart. This episode was edited by Theo Krantz and myself, engineered by Theo Schaefer, and produced by Nikki Kate Delgado. Our artwork is by Cul-de-Sac Studios. Please show us your support by subscribing, leaving a 5-star review, and telling your friends about the show. If you want to hear bonus episodes, you could become a patron at patreon.com/otherworld. Our social media is at otherworldpod. Thank you to the team at Odyssey: JD Crowley, Jenna Weiss-Berman, Leah Reese-Dennis, Rob Morandi, Eric Donnelly, Matt Casey, Maura Curran, Josephina Francis, and Hilary Schuff. Follow and listen to Otherworld now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And finally, if you or somebody you know has experienced something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplained, you could send us your story at stories@otherworldpod.com. Check me out. Don't check me out.